Sometimes at home, I'll be resting and listening to music, but then one of the kids will turn on the television, and then another kid will start to play the piano. And then a while ago, we bought these loud horns that they sound like clown horns, to put them on bicycles, and of course I haven't done that yet, and they've been sitting around for months. Well, then another one of our kids will pick up those horns and start honking these loud horns around the house. And then Lindsay, she'll be on the phone talking to somebody, and then one of our other kids will be in another room, something will happen, and they'll start crying. And then our large 100-pound dog will start barking. And then on top of it all, a handful of neighborhood kids that we love, we really do love, a handful of neighborhood kids will show up at the doorstep knocking on the door, right? This particular combination of events doesn't happen all the time, but it happens more often than you might think. And I just outline a lot of that to just say that life is a cacophony of sound. But it's more than just the audible distractions of life like this. Life can be really a cacophony not only of sound, but of messages, of words. We hear words constantly from our family. We hear words from our own hearts. We hear words from friends. We hear words from workmates, from TV, social media, radio, all the rest. And our hearts are filled with words about how to process and think about everything that we experience. Right. So this morning we considered a warning from Isaiah chapter 36 to 37 to beware of the sinful arrogance that leads to a distrust of God's promises. And we considered that sinful arrogance so often expresses itself in words seeking entrance into man's soul through ear gate. First, we considered that we can trust God, that we can, second, rest from the threats that we face in this world through God's word alone. Third, that God's word does not deceive us. Fourth, that we seek safety by going to God in prayer. And then fifth, that God will surely save his people. He saves Judah. The chief attack of the enemy of God and of his people came in the text this morning from the Assyrian king Sennacherib's emissary communicating Rabshakeh. The Rabshakeh, it's an office, and some of us were talking after the service this morning. Some translations just refers to him as Rabshakeh, others the Rabshakeh. It's an office, a communicator, a herald, as it were, of the king of Assyria. And he came before the fortification of Judah to mock them and to dishonor God, the God in whom they trust, to speak of the native tongue of the Hebrews, to sow seeds of division and distrust, to strip away their morale by striking fear at the face of this force that's coming against them from Assyria. So how can we guard the main gate of attack into our souls, of ear gate? Is there a word that is more powerful than the mocking words that would come against our God and against us, the boasting, the arrogant boasting of the kings of men? Is there a word more powerful than the kings that we see in this world? The text that we're considering tonight gives us our answer. The answer is yes, there is a word that is more powerful than all of the words that would call for our attention, the mocking words of the kings of this earth, and it is Christ, the word of God become flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. There is a word that is more powerful than all of the words, the cacophony of messages coming at us in this world. It's Christ. That's the big idea. The only word that is able to overcome and silence the cacophony of words and messages in this world is the word of God become flesh, Jesus Christ. I have 2 points. Number one, the expulsive power of a greater word. The expulsive power of a greater word. Number two, Jesus Christ is the word who will judge the hearts of all men. All right, so number one, the expulsive power of a greater word. Thomas Chalmers, he was a Scottish pastor at the turn of the 18th to the 19th centuries. In many ways, he has been often called the father to the modern field of social work in his pioneering ways to care for the downtrodden. He preached a well-known sermon to a gathering of pastors. It was called The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. And in that sermon, he applied the biblical principle that you can't change people by warning them of the consequences that they're going to face. You can't change people by telling them even how great something is. You can't change people by telling them to be more moral or just to do good. The only way that sinners can change is if they come to an understanding at the level of their affections for something. A more powerful affection, a more powerful treasure of their heart needs to be able to expel the affections that are so strong in our hearts of sin towards so many things in this world. People change not when they mentally acknowledge truth, not when they fear the consequences of sin alone, but when they apprehend the beauty of Christ in their hearts as more beautiful than anything in all creation. When the worldview, the way that they think, their mind is transformed by the renewing of the Spirit through the Word of God, when sin becomes hideous, when Christ becomes magnificent to their heart and their mind, they become addicted no longer to the substances of this world, but addicted to Christ, obsessed with Christ and not so many things that our hearts are obsessed with. When a heart treasures Christ above all other things, then that affection, Christ himself, pushes out the disordered, perverted, and depraved affections that so hardly reside within our hearts. It's in this same sense that we see that we need a word that can push out all other words that we experience today and that we hear today. What will have mastery over our hearts? The words of the world, the words of our hearts and our sinful flesh, the words of the devil? Or will God have mastery over our hearts through his word? Isaiah chapter 36 to 37, we thought about what is the word that can overcome the word of Sennacherib? What is the word that is more powerful than the words of the Rabshakeh? What is the word that is more powerful than the appearance of comfort and refuge in Egypt? And even what is a more powerful word than even Hezekiah's temptation to lead Judah in sin? The word of God alone. In Judah's despair at the onslaught of Assyria, Hezekiah acknowledged this by spreading out his concerns to the Lord and the temple and sending his men to Isaiah to hear God's word from the prophet, from God's ordained prophet, of what God says into this situation. And remember what Isaiah said. Don't believe their lies. Don't believe the lies of Rabshakeh. Don't believe the words of men. Believe the word of God. Let that be a more powerful word to you than the words and messages that we hear in this world. And God is going to cause confusion and shut down Assyria's attack. Again, God's promise of crushing Assyria's attack and destroying their military onslaught of Judah is a more powerful word. And we see that take root in the historical circumstance of destroying Assyria's army as they sought to overtake Judah. The culmination and fulfillment of God's word centers upon ultimately what God was preserving Judah for, the giving of the son of David, a king who would reside upon the throne of David forever. The word of God ultimately centers upon Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Christ Jesus is God's word, through whom and for whom God created all things. And the word of God in all of the Bible, it points us to God's word that he will save a people from their enemies and from the eternal wrath that his people deserve for their sins. In Jesus' humility, his sufferings, and his death, he seems to be a little word. He seems to be weak and of no account to the rulers of this world. But it's in this little word, supposedly, of Christ, God's word become flesh, that Martin Luther writes that one little word fells all of the schemes of the devil. The word of God in the Bible, as it culminates in Christ, is the only word that is powerful enough to expel the word and messages of so many others in this world, to silence the word of man. that would seek to overthrow God's rule as king over his church. When you're afraid, brothers and sisters and friends, of the threats of this world, only one word will bring you comfort in the midst of the miseries of this life and the trials that we faced, the word of Christ, Jesus Christ himself. The only word that can bring us comfort in the midst of illness, of death, of trouble, is Christ. The only word that can expel and crush all the destructive words of this world is Jesus Christ and his work in the word of the gospel. Friends, put your trust in him afresh tonight. Even as we scatter throughout the course of the week and go home to our neighborhoods, to our work and our responsibilities, trust in Christ and read his word. Let that fuel each of your days to build up a guard of ear gate from the words that are coming into our sphere. And for those who are not trusting in Christ, invite them to acknowledge Jesus as their treasure. Put him before them as the only thing that will satisfy. That he is the only one to whom they can find rest from the tyrannical words of this world. And we see how words are weaponized, even on something seemingly innocent like social media and cancel culture. We say that words will never hurt us, but words destroy lives. James says that it's like that little flame that sparks a forest fire. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Again, guard ear gate with the more powerful word of Jesus Christ. And invite friends to repent and believe and listen to the word of Christ, who tells us to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden, to find rest for their souls. And my second point here is Jesus is the word who will judge the hearts of all men. Jesus is the word who will judge the hearts of all men. The word become flesh will appear at the final judgment, and silence will precede the end. In Revelation chapter 6, the Lamb on the throne will be handed a scroll with seven seals. There is only one who is worthy to break the seals, the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, he begins to break these seals one by one. As he breaks open the seals of the book, judgment becomes and begins to take place. And then listen to what Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 says. It describes that when he opens the seventh seal, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. Silence. The only word that is able to silence the authorities in the heavenly realm is Jesus Christ. The only word that is able to silence the cacophony of messages and words that would seek to destroy our souls in this world is Jesus Christ. And at the judgment of the word of God, Jesus Christ, he silences the mouth of all men. He stops up their mouths. They put their hands over their mouth. And like the pregnant silence that precedes the storm that would roll in, 30 minutes of silence will precede the final judgment. Psalm 63, verse 11 says, "But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouth of liars will be stopped." At the final coming of the word of God, Jesus Christ, the cacophony of words in this world that seem so strong that would assault us will be stopped, silenced. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 describes that when the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. The boasting arrogance of the words of men in this world will be stopped as they see that they must give an account for their life to the Word become flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, upon his throne. At the coming of the Word of God, there will be no words. It will be overcoming as all knees bow before Christ. And on that last day, he will take all of his people who have turned from the words of this world to the word of God, the word of the good news, Jesus Christ, and believed in him, they will be ushered into his eternal home in heaven, safe. they will be gathered to the marriage supper of the Lamb of God, Christ. And those who have not treasured Christ will be cast into eternal punishment for their sins in hell. The Word of God become flesh. It will silence the mocking, the lies, the opposition. It will silence those who would seek to destroy us and our faith in Christ. The Word of God become flesh will silence the boasting of arrogant kings in this world that would seek tyranny and the harm of those under their care. Only those, friends, who have listened to the Word of God in Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and have had their affections overpowered by the unstoppable love and mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ, are those whose tongues then after that silence will be loosed to sing of his sovereign grace. Friends, treasure God's word, treasure Christ, treasure the gospel, treasure the Bible, and let the sovereign power of the word of King Christ usher you into eternal joy in his glorious presence at the coming of Christ the King. Friends, as we close again, as we scatter, as we close this Lord's Day together, as we go to our homes, we go to our neighborhoods, we go to our work, don't let the cacophony of words that we hear, the messages that we hear from this world that would seek to undermine the glory of Christ, that would seek to lead us astray, to cause us to wander, don't let those words lead to despair in your life. Don't be discouraged in the midst of the things that we face, the words and the messages that we face in this world. And don't let the words of this world overshadow the word of God, Jesus Christ, in your heart. And continually drink from the water of God's word in his scriptures. Read the Bible. Start your day by reading the Bible, setting up that wall of fortification, of ear gate, to guard your soul and your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And consider the magnificence of God. Consider the beauty of Christ's perfections. And don't grow weary of doing good and growing in holiness while we wait for his final revealing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise that Christ is a more powerful word than the word of men. Father, we give you praise that only the word become flesh in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, is able to overcome this and to silence the words that are so often weaponized against us in this world. Father, we give you praise that our hope is not in our words, the opinions of man, the arrogant boasting of the kings of this world, but our only hope is Christ. And he is a benevolent king who is gracious, who is gentle, who is merciful. Father, we give you praise that you have seen fit to give us your word. And Father, we pray as well that you would equip us to share the word that you have given us in Christ with our friends and family. Help us to point those whom we love to the word, Christ. And we pray that you would save them by it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.